Hello, Conference USA fans. Thank you for listening to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, your host, and I am back from vacation. Thank you so much to Josh Yonas and Jess Radford for holding down the fort for me while I was gone last week. Two awesome preview episodes aired last week, but we've got two more this week. Our final two football season preview episodes air today with New Mexico State and upcoming on Thursday with WKU, two of our programs who have had very storied quarterback battles over the summer and during the offseason, but both schools have announced their starters for opening weekend, and we will talk about New Mexico State today as it just came out on Monday, August 26th, that Parker Awad will be starting for the Aggies in their game against SEMO this weekend on Saturday. So we will talk to Adam Young, director of broadcasting there for New Mexico State in this first portion of the program. And again, Josh Yonas will join me for that interview, and we'll talk all about the Aggies for the upcoming 2024 season. Then in the second portion of the program, we will shift over to the interview that I conducted at Football Media Days back in July with head coach Tony Sanchez, Shiaz Pete, and Buddha Paletti. So you can look forward to that following our interview with Adam Young. All right, got to get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way. Remember to go ahead and like and subscribe wherever you're listening. CUSA Insider is on Apple, Spotify, and now on Amazon Music as well. Please give us a review if you are enjoying the show. And also, as always, follow us on social media for updates. You can follow us at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And we have an email address. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or recommendations, you can shoot us a note at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right, everybody, let's get this New Mexico State preview underway. Here is our interview with Adam Young. All right, everyone, joining us today on CUSA Insider to preview the Aggies football season, we have Adam Young, director of broadcasting there at NM State, and he is also the TV play-by-play voice for the Aggies. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate you guys having me. Excited for football. It's hard to fathom that it's game week already, so we're revved up and fired up to kick it off at home.
Yeah, we are super excited here at the conference office as well. And as we sit here on Monday, August 26th, there was a big announcement that came out of the Aggie football program earlier today. And I'm going to let you talk about it, Adam. Can you tell us what came out from the program today?
Yeah, obviously the big storyline has been quarterback. How do you replace Diego Pavia, and then how do you replace the people behind Diego? New Mexico State had their top three quarterbacks really go in the transfer portal with Diego and then Blaze Berlewitz, as well as Gavin Craig. So it's been an intense battle going back to spring ball, and it's been a good battle. Tony Sanchez, the head coach, feels like he does have a number of guys who can start and win football games for this program. But Parker Awad, who is a transfer from Golden West JUCO, he's going to be the starter Saturday. Deuce Hogan was part of that conversation as well the last couple of weeks, and Deuce was progressively getting better and better. Of course, he has, power four experience at Iowa and Kentucky. But Parker gets the nod for opening night. And then, we'll see how he plays. It's going to be his first FBS game. He has a really talented, experienced offensive line in front of him, so I think that should help. And we'll see how this new-look offense looks against SEMO here in a couple of days.
When I talked to Michael Navarette preparing for Media Day, and we talked through all the candidates for this starting quarterback position, when he got to Parker, one of the first things he mentioned was that, he plays the most like Diego Pavia. He's not going to, he's got an above average arm, but he's going to be someone who makes plays and really just, makes the right throws. Is that what you've seen in camp? And maybe just give us a little more insight in what, to what fans should expect from Parker and really what won him the job in camp.
Yeah, he can improvise, and that's what made Diego Pavia so well. When something broke down, he still found a way to make a positive play. And Parker has the ability to make something happen with his legs. Deuce Hogan is experienced, has a big arm. He's 6'4", 220. It's two very different body types, and I'm sure it's comforting to know as well that you have somebody behind Parker going into the opener that you do feel comfortable with. But Parker just played a little bit better. He had a very good spring. I think you know, maybe he came in and surprised some folks with how ready he was for this level right away. And the third guy, Santino Marucci, won games at Wake Forest, but Santino missed spring ball. So he's behind a little bit because of that, but who knows? Maybe down the road, he plays a big role with this team. So it's the deepest quarterback room that I've seen since I've been here. You know, there's been a lot of quarterback battles, but as far as depth and how many options they have for guys that can go out there and win you football games, it's been pretty cool to see.
And you mentioned you return all five starters there on the offensive line, which is huge when you're talking about quarterback play. Protecting your quarterback should be the number one name of the game for that offensive line. And so what is it looking like? How is that shaking out for them? Did they just roll right into that system again this year, protecting a quarterback who is very much like Pavia from last year? What are you seeing just so far through camp out of that O-line?
That O-line's been really good, and a lot of coaches will tell you, you win games or you lose games up front, and I feel like they can win some games this year because of how good their offensive line is, and when you try to break in a new quarterback, that's crucial. I think back to 2 years ago when Diego Pavia started the opener against Nevada, and things were a little bit disjointed because Diego was new, the offensive line was new, and everybody was trying to feel it out together. That shouldn't be the case going into Saturday against Demo. The center, Kanan Yarrow, is a three-year starter. A.J. Vaipulu is a three-year starter. And they have Shiaz Pete, Cedric Claiborne, Shamar Jackson, Jacob Bolden. They're all older players, and their coach is really good as well. Andrew Mitchell stayed here. He's the offensive line coach. He was on the staff the last 2 years. He did not leave, and I think that was one of the biggest takeaways for me from the offseason is, Andrew Mitchell is a rising star in the coaching profession, and he's still coaching that O-line. So that continuity has been, you know, great for the team going into the opener. And, you know, I think if you have good O-line play, you can get off to a good start. Because, quite frankly, the last couple of years, and you talk about a 7-win season 2 years ago and a 10-win season last year, neither season they got off to a good start. I mean, they struggled out of the gates and then got better as the year went on. So I feel like this year they can get off to a better start because the O-line play is good and solid up front, and that should really help them.
When you talk about some of the continuity on offense, obviously we talked about the offensive line. You bring back Monte Watkins, who's kind of positioned to take on a more primary role in the backfield. And then at the wide receiver position, you know, I know that there's some holes to fill, but bringing Cordell David back and kind of elevating him back to that wide receiver one role, bring in a, you know, a highly touted transfer like Latrell Neville. Do you feel like, you know, having maybe some answers to a lot of the other positions around the quarterback that, you know, new OC Tyler Wright was able to focus more in on this QB battle and making sure they're developed?
I don't think enough people are talking about the running back room. I feel like the running back room could be a strength. They have three really talented FBS backs. You mentioned Watkins, and he's going to see more carries, I believe, but they added around him. Mike Washington, who was a great player at Buffalo, has really shined going back to fall camp. And then Seth McGowan, who was a stud at Oklahoma as a freshman, he's going to see a lot of carry. And behind those three, there's guys like Tim Gans and Lorenzo McMillan, who have played a little bit the last couple of years as well. So I think they're going to run the football a lot. I really do, with the offensive line and the stable of running backs they have, and then you're breaking in a new quarterback. I don't think there's going to be a lot on Parker Awad's shoulders out of the gate. I think it's just, you know, get us in, get us out. We're not asking you to do too much. And, you know, secondly, too, is he's a winner. I mean, he was 8-3 last year at the JUCO level. He finds a way to win games. It doesn't always have to be pretty. Just find a way to win games. It wasn't always pretty last year, but they found a way to get 10 wins. So, you know, just keep it close in the fourth and then, you know, trust that you've prepared your team enough to win the game in the fourth.
Well, I mean, you've talked pretty highly here about the offensive side of the ball there for New Mexico State. But on the defense, I think there's a lot of newness going on. So new defensive coordinator Joe Morris out of Sam Houston, only returning two starters on the defensive side of the ball. What have you seen from just those position groups on defense during camp, and what can we expect out of the Aggie defense in 2024?
Yeah, the newcomers have looked really good. The secondary has been impressive. Kerrick Hobbs and then DeMarcus Crosby both came over from Sam Houston. Crosby was one of the better defensive backs in Conference USA a year ago. You bring back Dylan Early and Keontae Glinton in the secondary. And then you add in Nick Session, who was at Oklahoma State but didn't play a ton. And it seems like every time you look up at camp, he's making a play. So I like the secondary the way it looks. The linebacker crew, there were a lot of question marks going into last year. So it kind of worked itself out, and I feel like that's going to be the case again. Sone Alpiu is back, so is Tyler Martinez. And then Quincy Davis, who was here a year ago but wasn't playing, really took a big step in the offseason, and he's going to have a key role this year. And then they added in some JUCO pieces. That defensive line is practically entirely new. You know, there's guys that have looked good. They have size. They have good resumes. You know, how long does it take for them to gel? We'll see. And the Buddha Paletti's another guy. He's going to play, it's called the jack position. It's kind of a rushing linebacker. And he's played that before. And he's thrived in that role. He was at media days with you guys. And, you know, I think Buddha, who had a breakout year last year, can take another step this year. And Joe Morris has impressed everybody. I liked watching Sam Houston's defense last year. And, you know, it seems like, you know, Joe can come here and do something similar and keep it rolling. You know, Nate Dreiling did just a marvelous job with the defense the last 2 years. And I feel like, you know, Joe can keep things rolling for sure.
When you're looking for an edge on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you bring a defensive coordinator who was in that position at Sam Houston. He's already had a chance to see everybody in the league already. Now, I know a lot of other teams have changes to their offense, but, you know, a bulk of them will look virtually the same, even if it's different personnel. So do you feel like that's kind of an advantage to have someone like that in that building?
That's a good point. I did not think about that, but you know, once you get to Conference USA play, Joe knows the league. The linebackers coach also came from Sam Houston as well. You know, I tell folks this all the time. There was a lot of turnover in the coaching staff, obviously, when you hire a new head coach and you promote Tony Sanchez. But when you win 17 games in 2 years, that stuff happened. You know, folks get noticed around the country, and a lot of the coaches left for Power Four jobs. It's what happens. And I really like what Tony did with his coaching staff. I think Joe was a huge get. He added a bunch of other experienced coaches on both sides of the ball that have coached at a high level before that want to work for Tony Sanchez. And the cool part about Tony is he wants to be here more than anybody because he played here. And there aren't many alums of their program leading their program as the head coach, and Tony's one of them. So, I mean, he bleeds crimson and white. There's no question about that.
Yeah, he's been a lot of fun to talk to. I got to have him on the program earlier, right before Media Day, and then got to talk to him again at Media Day, and he is totally all in on the Aggies. Hashtag ride for the brand, as they say there. And it's been a lot of fun to watch. Well, Adam, you've spoken a lot about the roster and the starters and who we can expect to see out on the field. But just curious, is there one or two people maybe you haven't mentioned that other Conference USA fans around the country can be on the lookout for from the Aggie team maybe sometime this year? I don't know. We haven't mentioned any tight ends, I don't think, yet. Anybody else that's sticking out to you?
Yeah, Jared Lydiot was a walk-on who earned a scholarship during during fall camp, and he's fun to watch. High energy. He's a tight end who this year, you know, will have a role in the offense. So I think him for sure. You know, you're going to need depth at running back, and we talk about Watkins and we talk about Washington and McGowan, but once again, if they go deeper, Tim Gans is somebody who, when called upon during his time here, has been able to do something with his limited playing time. And if he gets a bigger role, I think Tim can do some things as well. And a wide receiver, Donovan Papel, a year ago was a freshman, kind of bursted onto the scene kind of midway through the year. And it was a deep wide receiver unit last year. So it wasn't like he was a key piece, but he's going to have a big role this year. He might be the number two or number three receiver out of the gate. And I feel like Donovan can take a bigger leap this year as well. And then our defense, you know, we mentioned a lot of people in the secondary, so it's hard to mention many others. But I think Nick Session's a guy. Oklahoma State, didn't play a ton, kind of a special teams guy. and he just makes plays. I don't know how many interceptions he's going to have or forced fumbles or what have you, but he makes plays. And you know where Nick Session is on the field every single time you're watching.
Another guy that came in the portal, you know, from another Power 4 program, that at least when you look at it on paper, you know, you're kind of surprised he wasn't on Bruce Feldman's freaks list. But Justin Beatles, standing at 6'5", 260 on that defensive line, what kind of impact has he made on that brand new defensive front?
Yeah, he's been fun to watch. I mean, he's been in big programs. He was at Virginia Tech, probably most notably. So he's kind of bounced around in his career. And he's part of that new look defensive line. Naki Fahina is another guy who's been at, you know, UNLV for 5 years. And those guys will have to step up out of the gate. It's names that Aggie fans don't know yet. I know a lot of folks are asking about the defense and saying, well, who's going to fill in for this person and that person? It's just names they don't know yet. And they'll know them after the first couple of weeks. It was the same 2 years ago when Jerry Kill came over, and it was a lot of new names, and you knew about him as the year went on. So Beatles is another. He's a freak athlete. They're big up front. And one of the things that made the team so good the last 2 years was they were really deep. The depth was better than it's ever been. And if you can have your twos be almost as good as your ones and they're not a noticeable drop off, that's how you have success in the group of five level. And I feel like the Aggies were able to do that the last couple of years.
When you look at the schedule, I mean, you certainly got no time to lick your wounds after the way the last season ended. You got to face Liberty and Fresno State there, and then the first few weeks of the season. But I know the theme here has been all the newness, but I know there are a lot of people who were in the building there for, you know, how last season went. You know, for that group and for even people such as yourself, I mean, what kind of are they really looking forward to those games? You know, are they kind of just really trying to forget how last year ended when they prepare for those ones?
Yeah, or is it locker room material, like, you know, speeches before the games, hyping everybody up?
Yeah, you know, I do feel like there's a little bit of a rivalry brewing with Liberty. And this goes back to 2018, you know, when both were independent and having to play each other twice a year. There's not a program going back to that far that the Aggies know better than Liberty, which seems crazy because Las Cruces and Lynchburg are nowhere near each other. But back then they were playing twice a year, and they did it again last year because of the conference championship game. And, you know, I feel like Liberty has a shot of getting back, and New Mexico State is, you know, starting this new era and feel like there won't be a drop off. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool to have Liberty right away. ESPN2, week 2. But I'm sure the key for Tony Sanchez is we cannot look past Southeast Missouri. You know, you see FCS over FBS upsets all the time. SEMO has a game under their belt. So while the Liberty game for us media folks is really attractive next Saturday, I know it's key for the players and the coaches to make sure that the focuses aren't SEMO. I know I'm doing coach speak right now, but the focuses aren't SEMO. And we'll worry about Liberty, you know, on Sunday.
Well, you say that the focus is on SEMO, and I learned something about you, Adam, before I got on this podcast, and you know that SEMO team, or the area at least, very well. You're a Missouri native, aren't you? And so tell me a little bit about this SEMO team and what you're looking forward to opening the season this Saturday.
Yeah, I almost went to school at SEMO, so I could have been a SEMO alum, but you know, I think folks in these parts probably don't know much about Southeast Missouri or Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and they look good in their opener. They lost their starting quarterback to an injury in the first half, but played really well with their backup in the second half. You know, it's a program. Their head coach was our Jerry Kill staff at Northern Illinois. Nate Dreiling, who was the Aggies defensive coordinator the last couple of years, Nate was a position coach at SEMO before he came here. So there's a lot of ties to probably get this game scheduled. And, you know, we were talking the other day. It's very rare for New Mexico State to open with an FCS. And I've heard this from so many coaches over the years, asking ADs, please do not schedule the FCS game in November. Give it to us out of the gate. You know, it's obviously a very winnable game early on, and you can't overlook SEMO, but, you know, you feel like you're the heavy favorite against an FCS school. So this is the first time, I believe, since 2014 that New Mexico State has opened with an FCS school. And that was Cal Poly San Luis Obispo back in 2014. So, you know, it's a chance to get off to a good start, obviously, ahead of Liberty, to get the fan support up and you know, to right some wrongs from the last couple of years. Because 2 years ago, the Jerry Kill debut, they struggled against Nevada. And then last year, they struggled against UMass, our national TV, in the opener. And they got better as the year went on. So they're just trying to play better in game one than they had the last 2 years.
Oh, gosh. I just thinking about last year, it's crazy to think of how you guys started the season. Like, I almost forgot about it because you guys finished the season so well. So we're really looking forward to how the Aggies play this year. But one game on your schedule that I have to ask you about, you mentioned playing games in November. You've got a really fun one in November on Rivalry Weekend, back again against UTEP at home there, at New Mexico State this year. Are the guys super excited there to have it back on Rivalry Weekend?
Yeah, it's huge. And, you know, a lot of fans have said this, and I agree with it 100%. If New Mexico State and UTEP can be pushing for a conference title at the same time down the stretch, imagine how important that game would be in this area. It's so great to have, you know, UTEP in the same conference now. I mean, this is something that Aggie fans haven't had. And, to have that game on a rivalry week and then really potentially mean something if UTEP's playing well and New Mexico State's playing well, it could also be for bowl eligibility. So that's exciting. And this is the first time in a long time where New Mexico State has had UTEP and UNM at home in the same year. They had to play them both on the road a year ago. So this home schedule is attractive. Liberty at home, and then the two rivals at home as well, most notably. So I know the fans are excited to get things going and try to do something that's never been done here, which is go to three straight bowl games.
And for some of our newer CUSA fan bases that don't really know about how heated that rivalry is, I think the one thing that I like to point to is when they played at New Mexico State in basketball this past season, they had a sold out crowd of 11,000 plus people inside the Pan American Center for that game. So the people in the El Paso and Las Cruces area will get up for anything that pits the Miners and the Aggies against each other. That's a, you know, no doubts about that.
You get educated really quick here. It is UNM, it is UTEP. Those are the two big rivals. And there's actually a funny quick story, and I told this on a podcast not too long ago. I can't remember if it was UNM game week or UTEP game week, and it was 2 years ago, and we were doing a midweek interview with Tony Sanchez that was going to air in our telecast that weekend, and practice had ended. Tony came over to do it, and his nose was bleeding. I mean, he had a cut in his nose, and I said, "Coach, your nose is bleeding," and he said, "I know." Well, apparently, he had just given the post-practice speech about the rivalry, and I can't recall which one it was. It was either Lobos or Miners. And I guess he got so excited that he was banging his head against helmet and he cut his nose. So there's no questioning, you know, how important those games mean to him. And every time it was Lobo week or UTEP game week, he was given the post-practice speeches because, I mean, he lived it as a player and it really meant something to him. And it's cool to have that guy as your head coach now, because this place means so much to him, and his blood, sweat, and tears are on this field, and you can't replicate that, for sure.
Quite literally, blood, sweat, and tears after hearing that.
Yes, quite literally.
Literal blood, sweat, and tears. Well, we really appreciate you for joining the program today. Looking forward to seeing the Aggies hit the field this Saturday against SEMO, and looking forward to hearing you on a couple of calls this year. So have a great season. I know it's a grind for you as well, and we are excited to get Conference USA football underway.
Thank you both. Happy football season.
All right, now, everyone, joining me today live from Frisco, Texas, here at the CUSA football kickoff, we have the New Mexico State Aggies joining me live in studio today. Head coach Tony Sanchez is joining us again here on CUSA Insider. Shias Pete is here, and we've got Buddha Paletti. Thank you guys both are all so much for joining us. How has the event been so far? Do you guys have fun the last couple days?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a surreal experience. This is my first time on a podcast, or second time on a podcast.
Okay.
I'm loving it. I'm loving the experience here. The Cowboys facilities was amazing, carpeted in marble, such an excellent facility.
It is pretty cool.
I'm really fortunate to be here.
Awesome. Did you play any golf? Either of you worked a little golf last night?
I'm not really a golf guy, but I did. I tried it.
There were some other games you could play too, right? You could do like baseball and some other thing. Were you better at any of the other ones?
Not really. I mean, baseball, threw a little bit. Not too good.
Yeah, you're football guys though.
I tried the hockey.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I saw that. How was the hockey part?
It was hard.
Yeah.
It's comfortable though.
Coach, did you go over with them? Did you get to see them doing any of this stuff?
No, I didn't. I was hanging out with the coach, but I'll tell you what, with this PJ headquarters, absolutely gorgeous. So what a great venue. So it's been fun. It's been a great couple of days.
Yeah, super fun venue. We at Conference USA like to be innovative and do football media days at not football facilities necessarily. You get a little bit of different sports mixed in. But like we said, it is almost football season. You guys have camp starting next week, right?
We do. We start on Wednesday, so we'll football fix it real soon.
Yes, you will. Well, I asked this question to a couple of the others so far today, but camp is such a grind, but there are good parts to camp, too, the camaraderie and things like that. So I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite part about camp? What's the good over the bad?
The good part is if we were all highly enthusiastic and we've come together, we're going through the hard stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we're all like working together, you know, we play off each other and whatnot, each other's energy and whatnot. I like days like that.
Yeah. What about you, Buddha? Man,
I think I just like the competitiveness, you know, and everybody's fighting, everybody's getting all crazy. That's like the best part because I feel like at the end of the day, it brings us closer, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you guys are chomping at the bit to kind of get back out there. Coach Sanchez, this is your first camp as head coach of the Aggies. So what are you looking forward to?
You know, I love camp, you know, just my entire career. But, you know, especially this year, just it's that 1 month where we just kind of go in the submarine together. There's no school. Like, we're around these guys 24/7. We're eating breakfast together, eating lunch together, dinner together. We're going to spend more time together in these next 30 days than we will the entire season. You know?
Yeah.
So it's really important for us to kind of answer some questions, challenge these guys, have them challenge us back and grow as a family.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing all of the content that comes out of camp. It's fun for us too at the conference office to be able to see all of that. Well, I want to talk to both of you kind of a little bit about your time at New Mexico State. You had an injury last year on your hand, correct me if I'm wrong, that put you in a cast for several months. So what was last season like for you guys going to 10 wins as a team and getting to play for the Conference USA football championship, getting to go to a bowl game in your first year in the league? So what was last season like for you? And then Buddha, I'm going to ask you the same.
It was a great opportunity. To me, after I got my hand injury, it was sort of like an uphill battle.
Mm.
But I'm used to that. It's not uncommon, but it was a great opportunity to see how I can adapt my play and overcome such an injury.
Yeah.
So I feel like I maintained my same level of play and actually exceeded it at mm-hmm. some points in my season. So
yeah, I mean, you look at your stat lines and you're like, excuse me, but you played with a cast on his hand for the majority of the season? That's crazy. Well, Buddha, what about you?
I feel like, you know, I was playing a 15-game season, it kind of led all of us to lean on each other, especially because, you know, we didn't really have anybody else to lean on but each other. So, like, I feel like it really helped us as a team, and it helped us bond more, if anything. And I don't know. I feel like especially seeing people go down, you know what I mean, get hurt. And it's like we still have more games to go. There's other guys that have to step up. And it's just, I don't know, it's a blessing to have that many games.
Yeah. You talk about leaning on each other during the season. You guys are also part of a great community there in Las Cruces. Tell me a little bit about the town and the community and how they back you guys. And what is it about Las Cruces that people just love?
Well, it's a deep place and riddled with deep history and whatnot. And I really like it because it feels original.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the atmosphere, the culture, whatnot. Being a pistolier or whatnot, being a Pistol Pete, kind of like diehard Aggie.
Yeah.
There's some kind of grit to it. And I'm happy to associate myself with the people of Las Cruces. And they've taken a great care of us. You know, I love it, the environment.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Muda?
I feel like, you know, everybody there just loves football. You know what I mean? Like, no matter where we go, it's always like, are you a football player? Everything's about football. Everything's about just the Aggies in general. And I love it, especially because my coach played with Coach Sanchez, and they played at New Mexico State. So since I was in high school, all I've been hearing about is the Aggies. And I get here, and everybody's Aggies, Aggies, Aggies. So it's just, I love it.
Yeah, I love that. There are a lot of programs in Conference USA who are part of communities that are all in on the schools that are there. And Las Cruces is definitely one of them. Well, when I found out that you guys were coming to Media Day, Michael Navarette, your SID, your sports information director there, sent me your headshots. And I joked back with him that you guys were part of the all-hair team, if CUSA had an all-hair team. But then you look across from me right now, and then there's Coach Sanchez, who unfortunately is not part of the all-hair team.
An all-shine guy.
Yeah, the juxtaposition there, I think, is kind of funny. But, I mean, Buddha, I think you're kind of known for it around the league. That hair sticks right out of the back of that helmet.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, do you have to take care of it? Do you have to, like, connect to it to make it look like that?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, after probably, like, my first game of college football, my mom called me. And I didn't do my hair that game. And my mom was like, what are you doing? Yeah, she called me and she was kind of going in on me. Like, don't you ever go out. I was like, Mom, it's under a helmet. She's like, I don't care. Like,
he was waiting to be missed in the lobby because he was doing his hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Listen, I mean, you have a lot of it. You have to, you got to.
Yeah.
That's really funny. I mean, well, I think about this a lot. When you guys that are out there have long hair hanging out of the back of your helmets, it's got to get rustled and pulled and whatever. You're still okay with it though?
Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, I think, see, growing up, like, I've always had my hair out of my helmet, so like it's been pulled. My mom just told me, like, if you're gonna have it out, at least get used to it. So I, at this point, it's just
it.
Yeah, really. Exactly. Yeah.
mom had to get after you on that one. Well, guys, tell me a little bit about, maybe from a player's perspective, what is the vibe in y'all's locker room this year going into the 2024 season? Is there something that the coaching staff is really preaching in the locker room that you guys maybe are using maybe as a mantra or anything like that this year?
Well, our mantra is we are writing for the brand or whatnot. So basically we're just... Our vibe is steadfast. You know, we're highly motivated. Morale is high. We are anticipating the full camp and the season after or whatnot.
So, mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd have to say it's steadfast.
Got anything different on that? You agree?
No, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, ride for the brand.
Well, I'm going to switch out of football for a second. I love asking student athletes this question because you are student athletes. Student comes first in that word. And I love to hear what our guys are majoring in and why. So can you tell me a bit about your degree paths and why you chose them?
Sure. I actually came to MSU wanting to study computer science, but football and like high intense math don't really mix well. So I had to choose one schedule or the other, but I landed on studying communication,
mm-hmm.
or they prefer communication studies. And I like it because I'd like to communicate well, and it's a high value of mine.
Yeah,
being able to communicate thoroughly and being able to understand, you know, I guess, where different people come from and how to communicate with that. I'm currently studying sign language in my spare time.
Oh, very cool.
And relearning my own language, Navajo.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. I mean, we talked about this with some other student athletes that have come through, but you guys do have very rigorous schedules. So the fact that you're able to do anything in your spare time is pretty impressive. But that's awesome, getting to learn those new languages. American Sign Language is so important, I think, too. So that's a great way to give back to your community as well. Awesome. What about you, Buddha?
I'm majoring in kinesiology.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm majoring in kinesiology is because, like, a lot of the people in my family, they do, like, a lot of physical work. And, you know, as far as, like, whenever I've been hurt, it was never, like, hospital. It was always, like, okay, we have this remedy, or okay, we're going to do this. So I always wanted to, like, get to know a little more about, like, the human body, and so I can help my family give back. You know what I mean?
Awesome. I love to hear that. Well, I have a question about maybe some of your teammates here, okay? We're going to ask some fun questions. Coach, you can weigh in on this one, too.
All right.
I want to know who the funniest person in the locker room is.
I live in Kenan Yarrow. He's our center for defensive line. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Always comes in with some sort of spark and just always cracking jokes and whatnot.
Okay.
Like super, he's funny because there were the times where like he's super unserious and whatnot, you know, goofy and whatnot. And then there's times where he's locked in. And that's someone I can get behind. Mm-hmm. Someone who has that good sense of humor.
Love that. Do you have a different opinion?
Okay. I do have a different opinion. Yeah. I want to say Naki Fahina.
Okay.
He is hilarious. No matter, like, if it's morning, we're about to run, he comes in joking. He walks over to my dorm sometimes just to make a joke and run out. Like, everything is jokes with him.
That's awesome.
Can't take him serious.
Okay. Well, you said you can't take him serious. I like this question, too. Who is the most overly serious person in the locker room? Who could use a little bit of humor in their life?
Who could use a little bit of humor in their life? Well, when we first met him, it would be Pete right here.
Oh.
Hey, how quiet was he when we first met him?
He was super quiet.
I don't think he was 100% sold on football yet either.
No.
He fell in love with the game. And now, I mean, what was it? Year one, we were first there, right? We won a big game at home. They took his helmet off, let his hair down, and just started screaming along.
Yes.
Whoa, who is this guy? I'll never forget that. That was amazing.
Good moment.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're too serious sometimes?
I need to relax sometimes. So,
relax.
But yeah, no, my teammates, the people at sports administration, they've been a valuable like resource to me, and I've been coming out of my shell, so to speak, and being able to talk and express my emotions.
Yeah. And now you're on media day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. You get to talk all day long.
Go figure.
Go figure for sure. Well, tell me a little bit maybe about what it is like to have a head coach now who has been with you in the locker room in a different capacity over the past couple of years, now taking over the program. We mentioned before he is an alum of New Mexico State University, which not only is great for the university and the town, but I mean, he gets it. He's been there where you guys in your shoes. So what's it like having Coach Sanchez join the program as your head coach?
I'd say, you know, there's already trust before he was a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, I already trust him. I'm already comfortable with him. And, like, I'm not sure if this is known, but Coach Sanchez is the one that actually got me into New Mexico State. Oh. So even as a receiver coach, like, that's unheard of almost. And so I have a lot of love for him. And I feel like a lot of the guys on the team already had trust for him because he was already a coach here. So it just made the whole process way easier.
I agree with that. I mean, it's inspiring to get behind someone who's already done it before, and someone who's done it can preach it well. And I'm really for that. And I'm glad that our head coach is, in fact, an Aggie. I mean, that keeps it strong. That keeps it woven within our community.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. Well, I do want to save a little bit of time here at the end. Coach Sanchez knows I have already asked him this question, so we're going to see if there's some overlap here. But we do a segment on CUSA Insider that we like to call CUSA Eats, because guys are football players. I know you like to eat food. I like to eat food. I'm a big foodie. And I have not had the pleasure of visiting Las Cruces yet. But when I come, I need to know where I need to go eat. So tell me some of your favorite restaurants, maybe what type of food I should get there. You seem like you have too many to even
eat. Yeah, I'm kind of trying to think here. Oh, man. I know. I mean, Les Combs. I love Les Combs.
Okay. What type of food is that?
There's like steak, pasta, then they have some really good salads there, but I'm in love with the steak. I go there for some steak, and then there's like El Vagon, you get fried. I go on and on, like, it's
you got some head nods to that.
And then let's think. I mean, you got Mateo's. I mean, go ahead, Pete.
I'm just following. There's three good ones that I really enjoy. There's one, Andalus. It's down in Mesilla, and I love their queso steak. It's a Mexican restaurant, really cool community. There's an outdoor roof or a patio that you can go and eat at. Really cool environment. I really like Mix. It's a sushi and like noodle restaurant where you can get like ramen noodles or whatnot.
Yum.
Types of platters you get. It's really nice. It's like Japanese themed and whatnot. really cool place. And then my last spot is the India. It's like an Indian style cuisine or whatnot, and they serve a really, really killer butter chicken.
Okay. Sure. You have very cultured answers. Yeah. You are I like that. I'm like, I love to eat anything. So this is very good. Thank you guys for giving me some fuel. It's my foodie fire for when I join you guys in Las Cruces at some point. I want to ask you one final question to end it out here. As you guys have been part of the Mexico State program for a little bit, the Battle of I-10, okay? You guys are now Conference USA members. It adds a little bit more flair to that rivalry game as you're playing an in-conference foe. This year, it's actually on rivalry weekend, right after Thanksgiving. Super excited about that matchup. As a player, how does it feel to be in that stadium when it's rocking? Just a couple of miles down the road, you got the minor fans coming over. You guys are going over to their place. What's that game like?
It is a dogfight. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now. It's the energy, the enthusiasm is high. There is there's a rivalry ship there, and you have to respect that. And you're not taking an L. You're not going there to lose or whatever. So I am anticipating it without a doubt.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Looking forward to it.
What about you?
To piggyback off what he said, I feel like it's less of like New Mexico versus UTEP, but it's community versus community.
Right.
Like, this is everybody. This is people who've played in the past. Like, even Coach Sanchez, like, it's a rivalry for him as much as it is for us. Like, it's a crazy game. The environment's crazy. It's like something you have to be there for. Yeah. Like, I love it.
I have to make my way down to one of those games. That seems like a good one. I went to Alabama for undergrad, so Alabama-Auburn is my, like, comparison there. But this is, y'all got a really, really good rivalry going there. So one that should and will be, now that we're playing on rivalry weekend, nationally recognized. So looking forward to that. Well, guys, thank you so much again for joining us. Go have fun. This is a fun day. I hope that you treat it as such. So thank you guys again for joining us, and have a great season.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Huge thank yous again to Adam Young, Coach Tony Sanchez, Shiaz Pete, and Buddha Paletti for joining us here on the program. You have another preview episode coming up. WKU Hilltoppers, we will go over that program on Thursday, and we will have Jeff Nations of the Bowling Green Daily News joining us to talk all about the Tops, so be on the lookout for that one. And we have football season starting officially, Conference USA football, on this Thursday, August 29th. Coastal Carolina will take on Jacksonville State at home on CBS Sports Network. So definitely set your DVRs. Do people even do that anymore? But make sure you're watching that game. It is our official kickoff of the football season. And then we have all 9 of our other teams in action on Saturday, August 31st. So excited that football season is finally here. And we have a lot of fun content coming up for you in the next couple of weeks. So again, please make sure you're subscribed to CUSA Insider on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music, and follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. All right, everybody, I will see you again on Thursday. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.